This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the tennis betting podcast brought to you in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. It's round two of the US Open men's singles. So I've just landed in New York. I'm going to come on and tell you about my trials and tribulations in a little bit. But before that, I'm going to say joining me, who's coming here next week. Look at the weather forecast when you come in. Sure, it's going to be sweltering. It's Sean Calvert, our senior ATP Tour handicapper. How are you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Yeah, I haven't been luxuriating in first class or anything today, but yeah, apart from that, all good. Yeah, you seem to have been enjoying the commute today, from what I could see.
It was a very lovely flight. British Airways staff looked after me very, very well. Champagne on request, fantastic. Bucks Fizz though for me, couldn't make my mind up what I wanted. Going for Bucks Fizz. So and then we had a nice three-course meal, as you do, afternoon tea.
As fantastic. You do. But, I'm not sure I'll be doing that on Friday. With the very same firm, incidentally, there'll be a distinct disparity in travelling class.
But let me tell you one thing, though. Straight out of security, American airports, usually a nightmare. They ask you loads of questions, fingerprints, all kinds of things. Straight out security, no problem. But an hour wait for the taxi that I booked because the traffic coming into out of Manhattan was horrendous. And arrive at my hotel, straight outside the hotel building. You can hear it from where I am now. I'll show you some videos a little bit later. I'll put it on the Instagram story and on our Twitter account. There has been a huge burst of water main, three blocks along from Times Square on 7th Avenue. Absolutely carnage. So I don't know how I'm going to be able to get in and out the road here. The journey was terrible. You should see the hole in the ground. It's horrendous. But anyway, look, arrived nice and safe. If you haven't watched any of the tennis today, what's it been like? What are the conditions like? What's your take from what you saw today?
It looks like pretty typical sort of US Open conditions, really. It doesn't look overly quick to me. If anything, I'd say it was, I don't know, from my own sort of eyes, it looks a shade slower. Usually averages sort of 79% holds of serve, 72% first serve points won in the 3 years on that's been on a lake hole prior to this. But after 32 main draw matches this year, it's slightly down on that, 77% holds and 71% first serve points won. So it certainly isn't at the moment playing, certainly isn't playing quicker than previous years. It's, if anything, it's playing slightly slower. But you know, as you said, it's going to heat up towards the Labor Day weekend. You know, conditions will probably get a little bit quicker if that's the case. But at the minute, I would say it's no more than a medium-paced hard court, this, really.
Yeah, and the weather conditions tomorrow aren't so good. A little bit of rain around, and obviously as well for Thursday. There's two days that I'm going to the tennis. It's going to be a bit of rain, so that might slow it down a little bit more. But any takeouts? Anyone you've seen so far in the opening round that you've watched so far? Thought, you know what, they looked good. I mean, Novak Djokovic did Novak Djokovic things, but he didn't play anybody of any note. But anyone you thought,
he was still really good though, Djokovic. Even for it's Alexandra Muller. Okay, he's not expected to really test Djokovic, but it's still, that was a, we'll come on to him in a minute. I'm going to talk about his match, but yeah, very, very impressive performance from him. Very easy match, as we expected for Daniil Medvedev. Aslan Karatsev actually was playing fabulously well, beat Jiří Lehecka in straight sets. You know, if he keeps that level up, Karatsev, which he probably won't, but if he does, you know, he could be an interesting sort of dark horse in that third quarter of the draw, which we talked about on the show, which has got Casper Ruud in it, and did have Holger Rune, but of course he lost. No massive surprise that he didn't go particularly well at this US Open, given his injury problems. Slightly surprised, obviously, that he lost to someone like Khabarovich Baena on a hard court, but he obviously isn't fit still, is he, Holger Rune? So that quarter for me is wide open. You know, if Karatsev carries on playing like that, like he played against Lehecka, then he's got a decent chance of getting through that third quarter, but it can come off the rails very quickly, can't it, with Karatsev? But yeah, it's been some decent performances, some not so good performances, quite a lot of injuries and stuff flying around. Yeah, it's been an interesting opening 24 hours for sure.
Yeah, we're recording this now on Tuesday, day two, afternoon in the States, evening in the UK. There are matches going on currently. Head to the Bet Rivers website, see all the in play there for the first round. But this podcast here is focusing on tomorrow. This is Wednesday's matches, on the first set of matches on round two. And it's the top half of the draw. So we've got five matches. Is it five or six matches? It's six of them. I haven't got the notes here in front of me. Sure, it's five matches.
It should be five, yeah, unless you've stuck five. One in that I didn't know about.
I was going to make one up just to sort of throw a curveball in there. But we've got five matches we're going to talk about. The first couple we're going to talk about are going to feature some very, very heavy favourites and some very one-sided matches. According to Bet Rivers, Sean might disagree with that. He may agree with that. We'll find out over the next 25 minutes or so. But the first match we're going to talk about is Stefanos Tsitsipas, who's up against Stricker. Now, Tsitsipas was pretty impressive in the first round match against Rynich. It was a dangerous opponent, but Rynich was nowhere near at his best. He's a heavy favourite here, Tsitsipas. -770. Stricker is +525. They've met once before on the grass in Stuttgart, and Tsitsipas won that fairly easily. I remember playing the over on the totals in that match, and I didn't win, and it was a quite easy win for Tsitsipas. The spread here is 6.5 in the Greek's favour, and the total is 35.5. Now, that to me looks a little bit low, Sean. I know you've given reasons why you're not really a totals better. You like to look at other markets around if you're going to play you over the sets instead of the total games. But Stricker is someone who is very good for a tiebreak usually, and Tsitsipas is quite a slow starter. So my lean in this one is for the over 35 games at -115. Are you on the same wavelength for me, or are you disagreeing on this match?
Yeah, same sort of thought process. First thing to say probably is that Milos Raonic was really poor against Tsitsipas. He served at 46% first serves, which gives himself no chance, really. 8 aces, but 8 double faults and 48 unforced errors in 3 sets. So, you know, Tsitsipas will come off the court as he always does. He's not shy of bigging himself up. He'll probably say, I didn't see the interview, but he probably said, yes, I played great, which is what he normally does when he's won. But, you know, a Milos Raonic has barely played in 2 years, serving at less than 50% and in errors every other shot. You know, okay, fair enough, Tsitsipas. We're very, very pleased with that, but not great from Raonic. I just think this is about Tsitsipas. If Stricker serves well, I think he's going to have a tough time returning that left-handed serve of Stricker's. If you can compare it to... It's a similar sort of situation to the Ben Shelton match that he played in Cincinnati, and he didn't even... Tsitsipas didn't even create a single breakpoint chance against Shelton. He won it 7-6, 7-6, but there was not a sniff of a breakpoint in that match. He hadn't got a clue what to do with that Shelton serve, and anyone that can kick a serve up high with decent pace to the backhand of Tsitsipas is going to give him trouble. You know, Raonic didn't do that in a poor serving performance in the first round. Yeah, looking at what Tsitsipas has done so far this hard court summer, as I said, he didn't create a single breakpoint chance against Shelton. He didn't break Hercash either, and he didn't break Monfils. So he's managed to break a Raonic that's was very, very, you know, below par. But I just think Stricker can do a similar job to what Shelton did to him with that left-handed serve, make it tough on the backhand side. You know, he qualified well, Stricker, and then beat the in-form Alexei Popyrin, who's been playing well in recent months. And he did it by punishing the backhand side. He knew that Popyrin's backhand was weaker. The left-hander is able to concentrate most of the traffic that way. And I think that's what he'll do against Tsitsipas. Going back to that match that you talked about in Stuttgart, Stricker actually did win 88%, a very big 88% of his first serve points against Tsitsipas in that Stuttgart match. But he didn't make enough first serves, and he was not as good off the ground then as he is now. He only won 22% of his second serve points in that match, Stricker. That's what let him down. So I feel like he's better prepared, Stricker, this time. If he serves well, he's got to serve well, because he didn't serve particularly great against Popyrin. I think he only made 54% of his first serves. He needs to get that up around sort of 60. If he does that, I think Tsitsipas will find it difficult to break him, certainly at first. I've gone for over 10.5 games there in set one. That's a +200 chance for Bet Rivers.
That sounds a great price, +200, over 10.5. I like that play indeed. I like the 35.5. I think the idea of going with the angle, being a tight first set, is definitely the way to go in this one. Tsitsipas is the heavy favourite, but we think Stricker will give him problems. He is a big server. He does play a huge amount of tie breaks, and games and overs is definitely the way to profit in that first match of round two. that we have covered for you here. Remember to head to the BetRivers website. They'll have all the markets available. We don't know the order of play yet, but it'll start 11 a.m. Eastern time, the matches. We don't know the order of play. It's a little bit later today, but all the action will be 11 a.m. Eastern time start. The next match is an extremely heavy favourite, as you would expect. Novak Djokovic, an unbettable favourite, up against Sebastian Morales, who's plus 1,700. Sebastian Morales has had an awful year on hard court. He's only won one match, and that was in the first round here. He lost six matches, and he's up against a Djokovic you touched on earlier in the show, how impressive he was. I know he didn't have much to beat in Muller in round one, but the manner of Djokovic's win, a six-love set, very dominant. He could have, you know, he could have probably won the second set even more convincing as he did. The crowd went wild when Muller won again. Djokovic is here, his first match back since COVID, obviously, and he's got a point to prove. He won in Cincinnati as well. The market is obviously extremely favourable in terms of Djokovic here. Minus 10.5, the spread, minus 106. And the total is 26.5. Now, Sean, I'm one of these people that over the years always wanted to get with a dog plus 10.5. When he got to double figures, I always wanted to get with a dog. But it never usually works out like that. Nadal used to win by a lot more. Alcaraz wins by a lot more. And this Djokovic here now, I'm actually thinking of bucking the trend and getting with Djokovic minus 10.5, which would have been unthinkable years ago, given how poor Sebastian Morales' year has been so far. And at 26.5, I can only be an underbetter rather than an overbetter. Am I crazy? Or are you with me on this one?
It's not often that I like these sort of bets, but a lot of people will, and I am quite tempted with this, actually. I'm just not sure how Zapata Morales is going to win games against Djokovic on a hard court. You know, he doesn't have the weaponry to do it. His serve is really weak. It's not like the serve's going to help him through service games. It's not going to happen. Djokovic is going to be in every point of this match on this Zapata Morales serve. He doesn't have a particularly big ground game either. Zapata, he normally wins his matches with durability, winning lots of long rallies on the clay, perhaps being the better physical condition than some of his opponents on the clay. Pretty consistent, you know, doesn't miss much, but that isn't going to be good enough against Novak Djokovic. You know, Karen Khachanov played Zapata Morales at the Australian Open earlier on this season, and he won by 10.5 games on the handicap. I think he finished it 6-love. So Khachanov can do it. I'm pretty sure Novak Djokovic probably could. Finished in 27 games, that Khachanov match. And that was only because the first set went to a tiebreak or 7-5. First set was close. The second two were certainly not. Let's look at what Zapata Morales has done away from clay at main level in his career. 6 wins, 22 losses. So that's a 21% win rate. His service points won and return points won total is just 92. And he only wins 33% of his return points, which is, you know, pretty poor. Only held serve 70% of the time and only broken 15% of the time for a whole break total of 85. You know, Muller only won 5 games against Djokovic in round one. I could see this being either the same or potentially even worse for Zapata Morales. I'm just not sure how he's going to win games. I'm really not. This could be a very heavy win for Djokovic, assuming he plays to a similar sort of level as he did against Muller. I could see Zapata Morales throwing the towel in as early as the sort of second set. You might be able to get in play 6-love set, something like that. I could definitely see there being a 6-love in this. I just don't see how he's even going to keep this close, Zapata Morales. My thought here, it just scares me. It doesn't sit well with me, but Djokovic minus 10.5 games. That was a 1.95 chance when I looked at this earlier on. That would be my thought in that one. I'm a bit skittish about these sort of bets, but that would be what I'd be looking at here for sure.
I'm exactly the same as you. It's minus 106 to 10.5, 26.5 the totals. I just can't see how I can go over. But also, like, it goes against every rule of my betting philosophy.
Yeah, that's what puts me off. But I know a lot of people will want to do this, and I couldn't put them off because I just don't see how Zapata's going to win games.
But are we old school? Are we old school? Are we thinking about like the games, matches years ago when they'd be 6-4, 6-4, and then, well, you know, the Pete Sampras's of this world and Roger Federer's this world? I mean, it might be a rule that has changed now. I think people who've been betting Alcaraz minus 10.5 and 9.5 and Nadal in recent years, and obviously now Djokovic as well, they'll probably be cashing back in the day. It may not have been the case, but It's just, it's like under football bet. I'm an under total goals bet. Everyone bets overs and cashes now. Well, I can't bet. It's something about it. I can't do it. I have to bet the unders. But it's something about the heartbreak of seeing a 95th minute goal going that cashes your loses your bet. It's a bit like that with this market. But really, on the form we've seen now as a Mascherano this year, it's impossible to see how he can challenge and how that 26.5 under can't cash in the 10.5. But no official bet, Sean. Just a lean because of that sort of attachment that we can't do it.
Yeah, it's a mental thing with me, I think, but I think a lot of people will be keen on either the unders or the minus 10. It just seems like a massive handicap, but I can't see Zapata winning games, so that would be my lean there for sure, yeah.
Okay, that's next match we're going to talk about is an American in action. It's the number 2 American, I believe, Tommy Paul. He's minus 290, the number 3 American. Tommy Paul, he's the 14th seed, minus 295 up against Safalin, who's plus 230. The head-to-head is 1-0 to Safalin, but that was on clay in Madrid this year. So that's not Paul's best surface. Paul is a favourite by 4.5 on the spread here. You can bet Paul minus 4.5, minus 134. Safalin plus 4.5 is plus 104. And the total is 37.5. There's a lot of people, Sean, talking up Tommy Paul this week. A lot of tennis betting experts I've spoke to on social media, and a lot of people I've spoke to in the UK, think Tommy Paul could go deep here and come through a surprise in some big matches and maybe even potentially win his quarter. It's going to be tough for him, but he is in the easier part of the draw. Do you think he's going to have any problems today against a man who leads the head-to-head against Safalin?
I think he's pretty short, Tommy Paul. He doesn't have a particularly great record at the US Open. He also lost, by the way, to Safalin at US Open Juniors, which you probably don't have on the head-to-head because it was quite a few years ago. Beat him in straight sets, Safalin, at the US Open Juniors. I think it was back in 2014. Well, that's obviously not relevant to now, almost 10 years later. But either way, Safalin's beat him twice. They'll both know that. They'll both remember that. So Safalin's not going to be concerned about playing Tommy Paul. As I said, he doesn't have a particularly great record yet at the US Open, Tommy Paul. 3 wins, 5 losses, and a service point. This is in the main draw. And a service points won, return points won total of 98, and a service hole break total of 95. So his record so far, you know, it's not great at all at this particular tournament. He actually took 5 sets to beat Zapata Morales, the aforementioned Zapata Morales. Took 5 sets to beat him last year here, Tommy Paul. And in the 8 matches that he has played at the US Open so far, he's only won 1 in less than 5 sets, and that was when he beat Trevallier yesterday in the first round here. So he's got a lot of work to do if he's going to improve on his US Open record, which isn't great. Safalin should fancy this. You know, he's coming off a Wimbledon quarter final. He had a bit of time off after that, and he had a couple of bad results, really. He should have beaten Nicolas Jarry in the first match back that he had, which I think was in Cincy or Canada, one of the two. Setting a break up, managed to lose that one to Jarry. Then he lost a really bad one at Winston-Salem to Juan Manuel Sarandolo. But, you know, having tasted the quarterfinals of a major, he should be coming in here, you know, fancying this. Got no pressure on him at all. Tommy Paul's got all the pressure on him. He knows he can beat Tommy Paul, beating him before a couple of times. I think this is going to be tight. I think this could be another long one. I just can't have Tommy Paul at minus money to win it, either 3-0 or 3-1. That just seems very, very short to me on the basis of what he's done at this tournament so far. So I've taken Safalin plus 1.5 sets here at plus 114 with BetRivers.
Safalin plus 1.5 at plus 114, given his record at Wimbledon and Tommy Paul's poor record here at the US Open. But it could be a public play. Tommy Paul, as I said, a lot of people bigging up his chances. The public could be getting behind him. American in New York, it could be. But sometimes I keep telling you, all the American viewers and listeners here, don't bet with your heart, bet with your head. And Safalin at plus 230 probably is the value. But the bet here is Safalin plus 1.5 sets. So Paul does win 3-2. We're all happy, aren't we, Sean? Let's go on to the next one. It's Manarino up against Marazan. Now, Manarino is the more experienced opponent. He's had a lot of problems with injuries this year. He's minus 295. His record on hard isn't that great. 13 wins from 24 matches. Marazan is 3-3, but he did look quite good in his first round match. Marazan is plus 225 to win this match. Marazan, many people will know him because he beat Carlos Alcaraz in Rome, in Italy, at the Italian Open. But since then, hasn't really done anything. Marazan is a favourite here. Marazan is an underdog here, and he's a 4.5 underdog on the spread, and the total is 36.5. That Marazan win over Alcaraz, was that just a shock win that you just have, or was that showing what his true potential is like? Because if he can replicate that form, he's certainly going to give Manarino some problems here.
Yeah, he's got good weapons, Marazan. I just wonder if Manarino will be a little bit overwhelmed by the pace and power coming at him from Marazan. I watched quite a lot of his match yesterday against Richard Gasquet in the first round. Marazan should have won it 3-0. I think it's just the lack of experience on the Hungarian's part that he didn't manage to win it 3-0. He was two sets up and he led 5-3, couldn't serve it out, ended up losing that set in a tie break. Similar situation in set four. He served for the match again in set four, again, couldn't do it, had to go to a tie break, lost the tie break, ended up winning it in five. But I think that's just a bit of a lack of experience at this level. I think a few years down the line, he would have won that match 3-0. He was hitting with too much power, too much depth, too much precision for Gasquet. He also threw in a few drop shots as well. He obviously plays a lot on clay. Decent touch. If you are someone like Gasquet who likes to kind of stay deep, that's his kind of default position. You know, he exposed that court position very well. If you hit him with a lot of power, it was sort of making Gasquet want to stay deep, and then he was chucking in the drop shot. It was all too much for Gasquet. He should have won it in straights, as I said. Manarino doesn't have a particularly great record at the US Open either. 12-12 win-loss. Never passed the last 32 at this particular tournament. Service points won, return points won, total of 99 at the US Open. You know, it's all very, very average. And he's not a particularly quick starter. I've said this before on this show. He's often a very, very slow starter in matches, Manarino. He's only won the opening set at the US Open in under 12 games once in his last 10 matches in the main draw of the US Open. He's lost the opening set six times in his last 10 matches of this particular tournament. So a slow starter, never met Marazan before, so it might take him a little bit of a time to adapt and get that kind of crafty style of his going. Just to lean on this one, but I like the idea of backing Marazan to win the opening set at +150 with BetRivers.
If Marazan does win the first set, it makes the in-running play betting very, very interesting. Remember, the BetRivers have an offer on the in-running play that is below us on the screen here. It's a match bonus on your bet up to $25 in play on in matches throughout the US Open. So the offer is running on the ticker below us as we are here. Also, remember to head to BetRivers website. There's about 42 different markets. So there's no better website across America for tennis betting than BetRivers. They have more markets than anybody else. And this is the place to be for tennis betting. Final match, Zhang against Ruud. Now, obviously, Casper Ruud has got to the final here last year. Surprisingly got to the final, in my opinion. I don't think he's had anywhere near as good a season as he did last year. And we spoke about him as someone who we were shocked that he'd potentially be a world number one. He's a heavy favourite here. We had the opportunity to be world number one. He's a heavy favourite here up against Zhang, -480. Zhang is +350. Ruud has won their only previous encounter, but that was at the French Open this year, which you would expect Casper Ruud to get the better of Zhang here. But Zhang is a decent opponent here. And he beat JJ Wolf in the last round. I know it was a long match, but he beat JJ Wolf here, which was a great win for him. I'm really surprised by how heavy favourite Casper Ruud is here. And I'm very heavily surprised that Zhang is a 6.5 underdog. I know he's -141, but even getting 5.5 starter and more favourable odds on the ticker, you can move that across. I quite like that. And the total is 36.5 here. I want to get with Zhang in some capacity. I think Ruud is beatable here.
Yeah, I'm not convinced about Casper Ruud that he'll win easily. He'll probably win, but I'm not convinced that he's going to win this as comfortably as these odds suggest that he will. I mean, he's played 14 completed matches in his career at the US Open so far, and he's only won three of them in straight sets. So immediately, I'm thinking potentially overs. Let's have a look at the ones that he did win in straight sets. Has that gone off my screen? They're not against great players, generally. One of them was against lucky loser Yuichi Sugita in 2021. He won in straight sets. The other one was against Carl Edmund when Carl Edmund was world number 601 last year. He won both those in straight sets. And the only other one he's won in straight sets at the US Open was against Berrettini when last year, I think he was in the quarterfinals, when Berrettini had an absolute shocker. Ruud just mopped up mopped up the rest of it there to win it in straight sets, mopped up the errors from Berrettini. And in those 14 completed matches, Casper Ruud has only won the opening set 8 times, and 3 of those 8 were on a tie break. So he does tend to be vulnerable early at the US Open. You know, the conditions, again, they're not particularly quick. I'd like them to be quicker to really oppose Casper Ruud. I think they're playable for Casper Ruud. As you said, he played Zhang on his favoured clay at the French Open earlier on this year. Zhang was a setup in that one, won the opener, and he was 4-all in the second, Zhang. And then he started to make some peculiar shot choices, started doing a bit of serve and volley, and I think his discipline kind of went, and he didn't really play particularly the right way from there on in. And that allowed Casper Ruud to get his forehand back into play, which is obviously what he wants to be doing, because prior to that, it was Zhang that was, I watched this match, it was Zhang that was at least the equal, if not the better, in the backhand to backhand exchanges. And Ruud couldn't really get his forehand in. But then, as I said, Zhang started to make a few tactical errors for me, and it all went a bit wrong for him from then on in. He's got a very, very good kick serve, Zhang, that he can use against the Ruud backhand to good effect. The thing that would worry me is the fact that he had to go the full distance against Wolf, having, like Marijan, having wasted a chance to win it in straight sets. He was 2 sets up and a double breakup in the third set in that match. Zhang ended up going all the way to 5 sets, and that might, you know, that might cost him physically, because he had a physical problem in Winston-Salem last week against Fucsovics. He had a bit of a problem there, so that would slightly put me off the fact that he did have to go 5. But if he's fit, you know, Zhang to win the opening set at a price of around 2-1 with BetRivers, I think that's a decent spot. It's a lean for me, but it's one that I quite like.
Yeah, I think that's the question mark, isn't it? The big question is whether he can come back, bounce back from that epic match against Wolf, which is obviously not only physically but mentally draining on him as well. And to play an opponent like Ruud is obviously a much tougher ask. So, but I like the 6.5. I know it's -141, but I think I'll probably play that 6.5, and I may even have a little bit of a save at 5.5. I think this might be competitive, and given those stats you said there about the amount of long matches that he's played Ruud here, he could throw a set in, which will cover the 6.5. You'd be in great shape if Zhang does take a set, at least one set. So some interesting ways of looking at the matches. These matches, I remember, are tomorrow on Wednesday. It's the start of round 2 here in New York. We'll be back tomorrow morning, New York, American time. We'll be looking at the second round matches again in the bottom half of the draw. There's 4 ways to follow us here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. You can download this podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, which is going high up in the podcast chart. So thank you very much for that. We're in the top 10, both in the UK and in the US. You can download, you can subscribe to our Bet River Studio YouTube channel, and we're getting some great views on there. So thank you very much for watching the show there and also subscribing. Just click the bell and you'll be notified on every time any bit of content drops, not only with the tennis, but all the European soccer leagues as well. And the Premier League is back again in midweek. And the Champions League, the draw for the group stages is on Thursday. So there's a huge amount of soccer action on there. And you can also follow us on our Twitter handle, at Because We Win. And you can also follow us on our Instagram handle, which is also at Because We Win. And you'll see me living up in first class on a British Airways flight, and you'll see me chatting to some workmen trying to repair burst water mains on Times Square. Living the dream, living the dream. Anyway, yeah. Sean, thank you very much. Just give us a quick recap of your official picks, if you could.
Yes. The first one, over 10.5 games in the opening set of Tsitsipas against Stricker. That should be around about +200 with BetRivers, that one. And the second one, the official play, taking Roman Safelin, +1.5 sets against Tommy Paul. To beat Tommy Paul, that's +114 with BetRivers.
So there you go. 2 bets, 2 nice prices, lots of leans. And remember to head to the BetRivers website. They'll have a load of different markets on all those matches for the second round. The second round action starts tomorrow, and we'll be right across it here at BetRivers. Take care, Sean. All the very best, and I'll speak to you again tomorrow.